Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ urges us to pray, but it's hard. It's hard to pray without ceasing. How can we pray to our Father when by our sins we have embarrassed his name in the world and among the holy angels? So we wait. We wait because we don't feel worthy enough, holy enough. We wait until the proper time, which never comes. We're still not quite ready. Too much is going on. Something always pops up, and it needs our immediate attention, and so our prayers are put into the background. How often do we pray only when we gather together on Sunday mornings? Because we've just been so busy throughout the week. So we're kept from prayer. When we do pray, we wonder if it even matters. Problems still come, sicknesses still linger. They seem to just run their course, and there's nothing much we can do to change it. So what's the point of praying? What's the point when nothing changes? Dear friends, the fallen flesh is a mighty adversary. Daily we must oppose its voice in our heart. If we wait until we feel ready, we will never pray. If we wait until we're more eager, we will only say a few words. If we wait until we feel worthy and acceptable to God, we will hardly pray. King David prayed from the depths of his sin. Jonah from the belly of the fish. They did not wait until they felt ready, eager, zealous, or even worthy. But they prayed right then and there because they had a need and they recognized only God could help. So recognize your need and seek from him what you still lack. In this way you will discover that you can do nothing, but everything, the beginning and the end, the will and the carrying out of that, everything for spiritual and yes, even for physical things, everything must be sought from him and be given by him. And so God instructs us to pray in the second commandment. He commands us to pray. If you believe that God will punish the murderer, the adulterer, and the thief, then you must also believe that God will punish those who refuse to pray, or who pray only a little. Do not test God by refusing to pray. Do not call him a liar by saying or by thinking that it really doesn't matter, God's just going to do whatever God wants to do anyways. He commands you because he wants to bless. And he wants you to seek that blessing from him. You see, his commandments are not harsh, restrictive, or overbearing. But they are loving and gracious commandments that teach you to walk in his ways. Impress them on your heart. Impress them on the hearts of your children and your loved ones. Did you hear the promise that Christ himself attached to prayer? My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Who of us is so foolish as to ignore this promise? Who of us is so arrogant to think that God has nothing to give to us and we're fine as we are? But you say, I have prayed and nothing has changed. My sicknesses still run their course. My problems still must be dealt with. Stress still is a 24-hour thing. Nothing has changed, so what's the point? If you think like this, then one, you are calling God a liar. And two, you have forgotten his promise. And three, you also have forgotten that last clause. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. You have stepped outside of Christ, and you have wanted God to answer you based on your own worthiness. So it's no wonder then that you doubt. It's no wonder then that you fail to see God's answer because you are looking in the wrong place. Instead, let Christ be worthy enough for you. Let His holiness adorn your prayer. Forget about yourself and come on His authority and in His name, trusting that God will listen to you as if Christ Himself were speaking those very words. You base your salvation on Him, so also base your prayers on Him. For God does not lie. Whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, the Father will give you. So to pray in Jesus' name is to pray from faith. For faith does not look at itself, but it looks outward towards Christ and trusts that God will do whatever is best for the sake of Christ. So pray with boldness and confidence, even as you are confident of your salvation in Christ. For prayer stems from faith. It comes from the heart, not from the lips. But it spills over from the heart onto the lips. And so your prayers are weaved together with Christ's. He is your sole mediator. In Him you are saved, in Him you live, in Him you also pray. Through holy baptism, He has united Himself to you, and He merges your praying with His, and His praying with yours. You're not worthy to pray, even as you're not worthy to hear the gospel. But God demonstrates His love to you in this, that He speaks to you His grace again and again and again, and He relishes when you speak back to Him. He delights in your very words. So grace and prayer are tied together so that no one can pray unless he first has heard God speaking to him. First God must speak, only then can we speak. This is what He says through the prophet Zechariah, "I will pour out on you a spirit of grace and supplication." Through His word, the Spirit comes to you so that you may call upon God from your heart. For where there is faith, there also will be prayer. So if you want to improve at your prayers, if you want to pray more often, then listen to God speak to you more. He speaks to teach you how to speak. Repeat back to Him the promises He has made to you. Hold Him to those promises. Take up His words so that they may be in your heart and on your lips. And then you will understand what Jesus meant when He said, "My Father will give you whatever you ask in My name." You are not trying to bend God to your will, but you are being bent to God's will. Take the Lord's Prayer, for example, that perfect prayer He taught us to pray. First, we pray that God's name be holy, His kingdom come, His will be done, and then we pray for our daily needs and deliverance from trouble. There's a proper order to these things. Mold your prayer after this prayer. Pray for the glory of God's name and for the good of His kingdom. Pray that God's will be done. Don't just tack it on at the end of your prayer and then wonder why God lets your cold linger, your sickness still be there, or allow so much trouble and adversity in your life. Rather, believe. Believe that God's will is being done, even if the very opposite of what you asked for happens. For who of us can figure out what best glorifies God's name or what best serves His kingdom? Is it sickness or health? Is it wealth or poverty? Is it ease or hardship? Who of us can know? So if God wishes to test us for a time, as He did Abraham, then thy will be done. If it's the time and the hour, deliver me. If not, then grant me strength, patience, and trust. This is what Jesus means when He says, "My Father will give you whatever you ask in My name." So it's not up to us to determine the how or the when God should answer our prayer. We leave that to Him. He always, though, wants to give you far more than you can realize. So we learn His word. We repeat His promises. And we patiently wait for His help. He will help. He will always help. For He is our tender Father, and we are His dear children. He gave his son to claim you as his own. He baptized you. He communes you. He daily speaks to you in his word. Would he really then turn around and ignore your prayer? So pray when you're lonely, sad, and depressed. Pray when you're happy and comforted. Pray when trouble, hardships, adversities, and stress arises. Pray when you're successful and everything seems to be going your way. Pray when you feel like it and also when you don't feel like it. Remember the promise of Christ. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Pray so that your joy may be complete. This is not the joy that is common to all people, but this is the joy of the Christian. It is joy in the forgiveness of sins, joy in freedom from this present evil age, joy in relief from the devil, joy in seeing all things as a blessing from our dear Heavenly Father, joy in knowing that heaven is ours, joy in subduing the fallen flesh. Far too many want to understand this joy as things going my way, as us succeeding or finally getting through it in a timely manner, or as God finally answering my prayer in the way I asked. Far from it. Far from it. Joy is recognizing things going God's way, that His kingdom is coming, His will is being done, and His name is being hallowed. And the more we realize that, the more we realize that, the more we will long to be with Christ in heaven, and the more joyful we will be. For those who have tasted the refreshment of this joy will not be satisfied or filled with it. But the more they taste it, the more they will hunger for it and thirst for it. And the more they will pray in Jesus' name. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.